رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. ما بعد. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're broadcasting live all the way from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, at Masjid As-Sabreen. And Sabreen, by the way, means those who have patience, and we sure hope that Allah give us patience tonight so that we'll be able to do something very important and something good for Islam and for all the Muslims. And that is to help us in dealing with what we call the attacks and harsh questions in Islam. Harsh questions against Islam. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes, and for the next 30 minutes or so, we're going to be talking to you about something that's actually a very serious situation that is occurring around the world, but in particular in countries where a lot of people don't know a lot about Islam, including the Muslims themselves, and it's a matter which is affecting many of us, and it's something that needs to be addressed. And that is that many people are approaching the Muslims these days and asking questions that are more than just questions. And they're more than just innuendos. They are serious accusations, accusings of the Prophet salam, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, slanderous and heinous remarks being made against our religion, against our book, and our Prophet salam, peace be upon him. And let's now turn to this, that today, as a matter of fact, I'd like to tell you that today, just today, after I had dinner with some folks, and after that I went to check my email and then come up here. And I found two emails with exactly the same questions from two different email sources. The exact same misspellings, the exact same nasty way of saying something, and they're from two separate email sources, and they were remailed to many, many other Muslims out on the web, people that I know. Where did they get the addresses? I don't know. How did they come up with this? I don't know. But I'm telling you right now, I want to be sure that you understand this is by design, this is not an accident. Got it? And I have the proof right here because I have two. And one of them is coming from XYZ, and the other one's coming from ABC. Got it? Two separate, but the exact questions, and there's no difference in the questions. So I'd like to read to you my reply back to them for their harsh question to us. I guess maybe the best thing to do is start out by telling you what it was that they, in fact, wrote to us, to give you some example of that. Because it was very, very harsh the way that they did it, and I think that it's only fitting that you know. Here it is. This one is coming from somebody will say his name. Say he's called himself Muhammad. Yeah.
No sound. No sound, Sheikh Yusuf.
Yes, what I would prefer is, Sister Layla is there, let her notify me right away. Don't type it because I can't see it. I'm reading something, so it means the screen's covered up. Okay, Sister Layla, are you there? Just answer yes. Yeah, okay. Let Sister Layla, when it goes dead, let her speak to me directly because I'll be listening for her comment. Thank you. And now we'll get back to the program. And what we were talking about is what was being said in this email. It says, I just don't understand that women can't have the rights as men in Islam. For example, to wear something over your hair. Don't you think that women should have the same rights as men? And why women in Islam cover and the man not wear? I think that is what I think is so unfair. Okay. And I'm saying that whoever wrote this was probably a Coptic Christian Arab, or it was probably a Maronite Arab Christian, because he wrote it like the style of Arabic. But they were, oh, and by the way, they said that they were need help in Islam because they were losing their faith because of this, right? But in fact, if that's the case, then why don't they already know some of the very basic things that we know in Islam? Basic. Number one is that a Muslim never says what Allah orders is unfair. We would never say it. We would ask why, but we wouldn't make the statements that are being made here. Okay, then the next one, they said, if you can give me a very good reason, then you are good. That's not the way we talk to our scholars. That reason has to convince me that it's right what is Islam is doing to a woman. Another one, it says, what has written the Quran? If it's the law, how could the human being get the Quran? Did it fall out of the sky? That is not a Muslim. Because he doesn't even know the basics. How comes Iqra' bismillah bismillah khala? Then it says, why pray five times a day? Can't Allah see that you believe? Why do you have to pray? This is not even a good Christian. And no eat in Ramadan. Why? This is also not even a good Christian, because they have Lent. I don't remember what it's called, go Mecca once in the life. Once? It's like once? Kumwara? He says once in the life. Not once. Alhamdulillah. Okay? And these are some of what he had to say. But let me share with you some of the others that we received. Why did Prophet Muhammad marry so many women, 13, while limiting his companions and the followers to only having 4? Well, first of all, it's not his limit. It was Allah's limit. But we can answer that. We have. Why did Muhammad have sex with a 6-year-old girl? That's a lie. He didn't. How do Muslims explain verses in Quran that say men are better than women? It doesn't say that. What does Quran say, kill Christians and Jews wherever you find them? It doesn't say that. Why does Quran say, beat your wives? How do Muslims explain what happens to people who live before Islam came? Do they all go to hell? How can Muslims claim Islam is peace and yet Islam is so violent? Quran attacks Jews and makes Muslims hate them. Why? Why do Muslims hate Americans? If Allah is so merciful, how do you explain all the things that are happening around the world, even to the Muslims? If Allah has already planned everything, how is it fair to punish people for what He makes them do? How's this? And you're just getting started. But these are the questions that they're throwing out there to keep people from seeing the truth of Islam. There's more, a lot more, that they throw out there. You can't believe how many questions they come with, and every one of their questions does one thing for me. Increases my iman. Because I know Islam is al-haq, and I know the answers to their questions, not because I'm smart, but simply because Allah continually guides those who love Him, and He won't let you have a question like this to leave you in a quandary, because this is not the way Allah tests people. He tests you in some things, but He doesn't play games on you. Allah is not ever playing games with anybody. He only tests you in what you can bear. This is true. لَا يُخَالِفُ لَهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا لَا يُخَالِفُ لَهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Nobody doesn't put anything on a soul more than they can bear. So, alhamdulillah. And what I did to this smart aleck who sent me these questions is, now, somebody else sent them from Islam Online. So they sent them over there as well. So somebody from Islam Online also sent it to me, because I answered questions for them in English. But these other people who are doing this, I decided, why should I sit here and type, because it takes about one day to answer each one of these questions, because I give all the references and give all the meanings, so that they've got a little booklet that they can go with that question. But why should I sit there and do that over and over again when we've already done the program? So here's how I answered this, and keep in mind I only had like an hour to get it done before we came over here. So what I did, I said, question number one, here it is. And anybody who wants this, by the way, you can email me and ask me for this, and I will give it to you. What I'm reading to you now is already written. I can send it out to you. Send me email at Sheikh Yusuf at American Online, AOL.com, S-H-E-I-K-Y-U-S-U-F. It's the email that you will find when you go to our website where it says email, and you email it to me. First of all, I'm going to reword them a little bit nicer than what they said, because they said, just don't understand, women doesn't can't have the same rights as men in this land, for example, the wear, the cover, the not wear, and so on. Okay. Simply put, I said, why is the dress code for women more strict than that of the men in this land? Because that's a fair question. That is a fair question. But what they gave was a harsh question, because they put innuendo with it, saying that why does Islam oppress women with long black robes, headscarves, but men don't have to wear anything special? And why women in Islam cover and men not wear? I think it's so unfair. Okay? Point is, that is a harsh question. And let's explain, first of all, we've said this before, but a harsh question works like this. Somebody comes up to you and says, hey, answer me yes or no. Is your mother out of jail yet? What are you saying? What were you saying? You slap him in the face. It's how you say it. Yeah. Is your mother out of jail? My mother is not. No, no, no. Yes or no question. Is your mother out of jail? My mother's not in jail. Oh, she's out? That's nice. How'd she get out? Oh, now you're really mad. Yes? It's not fair. It's not a fair question, is it? These are not fair questions, are they? So the first thing you got to do is stop them from that. And the best way I recommend to do it is this. Simply say it. I say, thank you for asking me about my religion. As a Muslim, it's my honor, it's my duty and privilege to tell you about Islam. And I have to do that in the best possible way. And another thing, I cannot lie to you. And they'll say, huh? No, it's important for you to know that you came to the right place, because as a Muslim, I have a honor-bound duty to tell you about Islam the best way I can, and I mustn't lie to you. I must tell you the truth no matter what. So if I don't know the answer, I'm going to say, I don't know, and we're going to get the answer for you. Well, he's going to be surprised because he didn't expect that from me, did he? So then I tell him, but by the way you brought the question is very harsh. It has some mistakes in the question itself. Well, we have to straighten the question out before we go any further. Islam doesn't oppress anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is from Allah himself, your creator said, he forbids himself to oppress. Zulm. He forbids himself to oppress, and he hates when we oppress. So don't say Islam oppresses women or anyone. Islam is the opposite of that. Islam is the true freedom. So you can't ask a question like that when Islam is the opposite of it. Make sense? Okay, so let's start with that. The next thing I want to tell you before I get into your question is this. The question you asked has a clear mark of distinction in it that it came from a very bad source. Where did you get the question? Because I know you didn't make this up yourself. You're not that kind of person. You wouldn't purposely try to insult someone to start a trouble because you're a kind and generous person, and I know you wouldn't do that. No, you complimented him. But now he's got to ask himself a question, where did I get that question? Did you get it from the website? Did you get it from the newspaper? Jerry Springer, Oprah Winfrey, other fine folks out here in the world? Is that where you got it from? Because the question has lies in it. If your question has lies in it, and you need to know where you got it from, because this one, somebody's trying to poison you. If you found poison in your drink, of course you're not going to drink it. You're not going to give it to anybody else either, right? So you need to stop passing the poison around, but also you need to find out where you got it from, don't you? Well, I was listening to CNN. Okay, that's your first mistake. But that's okay. My next question to you is, when you hear the answer to your question, if it makes you say, gee, I didn't know that. Gee, I didn't know that. Gee, I didn't know that. Then are you prepared to rethink your position and consider that you really have a God and He has a purpose for you? And are you ready to worship alone with no partners? Are you ready? Are you prepared to do what God created you to do? And that's to worship Him alone without any partners. Because if you answer yes, I'm ready to give you the question. Give it right to you. The whole answer. You ready? You know what he's going to say? Yeah. Because he wants to know. Guess what he just did?
He signed the deal, man. There's a salesman sitting over here. He knows. That's right. He signed the deal. Now all you got to do is fill in the blanks.
It's already got a signature. Take it to the bank. That's the Shahada standing in front of you. You don't believe me? I want you to do this. Go online and ask any of the people that visit on our website regularly and ask them if we haven't had people sitting in front of us, in public, sitting right there and made the Shahada online. And I ask them the same question I'm asking right now. If the answer I give you makes you realize things you didn't know before, realize that people are poisoning you against Islam, are you prepared to rethink your position and considering on worshiping God alone without any partners? He should say yes, shouldn't he? It's not a hard question, is it?
No.
Okay. Question number one. Why is the dress code so strict for the women and not for the men in Islam? Is that a true statement? Yes, it is. That is a true statement when you ask it that way, and I'm happy to answer it that way. Because, for sure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a dress code in two ayahs in the Quran to the women, but He gave no dress code to the men in the Quran. There is no dress code for the men in the Quran. It's in the Hadith. Is that true or false? The aura of a man is known from the Hadith to be from his knees to his navel. Yes or no? But it's Hadith. But the aura for the woman is what? Who will tell me? What's the aura for a woman? Nope, it's the same from the knees to the navel. How many want to argue? You already know you won't win, right? No, because why? Provided there's no men around. Because the limit for the women is only coming when there are men around her. If she's not around the men, she can still cover from here to here, yes or no. Now do you agree? How does she feed the baby if she can't expose her breast? Duh. So the code for the men and the women is exactly the same. It comes from the Hadith. And the dress code is from the knees to the navel. Navel to the knees, that's it. Everything else is no problem unless there's certain circumstances. A man must cover his upper torso when he makes salat. Yes or no? So there's a time when he has to have more covering, yes or no? And when he makes hajj, yes or no? So there are times when he's in certain places he has to increase the covering, yes or no? Okay, thank you. So for the woman it's the same thing. There's times when she has to increase the covering. That's all. And if she doesn't want to do it, stay home. Easy as that. But if you want to know why, Allah told you in the Quran. Most of the scholars I heard answered this question, answered it too quickly, and the students didn't pick up on it because they didn't realize the scholars know a lot more than we do, by the way. They assume we know a lot. They don't realize how dumb we are. And they start out with the ayah. It says, and tell the believing women. How many of you know that's how it starts? In Surah An-Nur, chapter 24, verse 31. And tell the believing women. Does that start out, wah? Wah. The letter wow. That's a continuation. That's a conjunction from the previous verse. It means you need to go back and read the verse before it, doesn't it? Duh. Chapter 24, verse 30 says, tell. It starts out with a commandment to the Prophet, tell the believing men to lower their gaze toward their private parts. Oh. Yeah, that's right. It does say that. And this is how they go to Jannah, through this kind of piety, this kind of quality that they have for guarding themselves against illegal sex. Yes or no? And tell, next verse, and tell the believing women to lower their gaze and guard their private parts. Same exact statement for men and women, yes or no. And when they're going out to draw the himar over Gideon Behemoth, draw their scarf from the back of their head down over the front of their body, covering their breast. Yes or no? And this is in the case when any men are around there who are not coming up in the next part of the verse, telling, except in front of your father, your son, your brother, and some of your other relatives. In this case, you don't have to worry about it. She can nurse her baby in front of her husband and her father and her son. Yes or no? So it means that's back to knees to navel, doesn't it? That's the minimum. She cannot show above her knees nor below her navel to anybody. Okay. Are we agreed? But when she goes outside and she goes, it says abroad in the Yusuf Ali translation, but meaning when she's going to go out away from her house, now she has a different condition, even from the chimar thing over her Julia Behina. It's more specific in Surah Al-Hisab. Surah Al-Hisab is very clear, chapter 33, verse 59, and it tells then, O my prophet, tell your wives. Everybody said, okay, stop right there. Didn't my, what's that? That's the mothers of the believers. They don't even read the rest of it. Shaitan told you that. Keep reading. And tell your daughters, okay, that's it. And your women, okay, that's it. And the women of the believers. Oops. Darn. He read too much. It means tell all the believing women, hello, that when they go out, that they have an abaya that they have to wear that covers them up and it tells the wives. And mentioning in these ayahs also is sparing you so they're recognized as believing women. And all those believing women of the monotheistic religion, all the way back to the Jewish, to the early Christians, to the Catholics, always covered their women. And in the Bible it even tells them in the New Testament that if she's a believer, she has to cover her head. Otherwise, if she's a whore or something like this or lewd, then shave her head. Shave her head because it shows that she's no good. SubhanAllah. Hello, hello, hello. So now we've found out that the condition here is that when she's outside of her house or away around strange men, then she needs to be covered up more. And when she's out, way out, you're like going to the market or going out doing things, she needs to be covered even more. It's to protect her so she doesn't get raped. It's to protect her from the men who won't lower their gaze and guard their private parts. Because it takes care of the believing men. So if you tell an unbeliever to do anything, well, he don't care. You know how they are, like, hey, man, check that out. Whoa! What I'm trying to get a point across here is that we have to be realistic. That a lot of these people, a lot of these people are trying to put their thoughts on what we're doing. And they can't do that. You can't take disbelieving thoughts and man-made rules, their own government, and use it in place of Allah's governing. It won't work. So this is why it's time for us to educate them a little bit. If you care about your mother, or your wife, or your daughter, or your sister, do you want them going into the street? Or do you want to protect them? Why do you think that the Prophet ﷺ told us that the punishment for no hijab is coming to the men instead of the women? How many of you know that? The hadith said the first one to be punished for no hijab is going to be her father, her brother, her husband, and her son. Now, that's good news for you, isn't it? How many of you, stop and think, don't raise your hand. How many of you, your mother, your sister, your daughter, your wife are not wearing the proper hijab? Because if they're not, guess what? You're the one in trouble. Didn't I give you something to look forward to tonight? You can't wait to get over and say, oh, guess what? Oops. Now are you ready to do that iftikaf we talked about earlier? Brothers, they're all volunteering now. Yeah, I'll stay here. Wait until going home. Alhamdulillah. What I'm trying to make a point about is that for us as Muslims, we understand a lot more about
been a non-Muslim, but still we don't have it all together. It's not until you put the pieces together and look at it, you say, this is pretty cool. This is really nice. I really like this. Being a Muslim is really a hip, cool thing to do. Because I'm protecting my mother. Don't you think that every single non-believer out there wants to protect his mother? And his daughter, and his wife, and his sister? But he doesn't know how. And you've got the key. You can unlock the door. You've got the mustache to the bob, man. All you got to do is tell him. But it all starts where? With La ilaha illallah. And you come back to this point right now. Stop what you're doing and say, listen, do you understand that Muhammad, peace be upon him, did not make that Quran up? This was revelation given to him by the angel Gabriel. The same angel that came to the mother of Jesus. The same angel that came to Moses and Abraham. This is the same angel. And he delivered God's message to the prophets, and they brought the message to us. And every single person on earth who hears the message is responsible for that. And the message isn't about clothes. And it's not about sex. The message is about ibadah. And Allah said in His book, the same book that gave you these great regulations for protecting your women, in that book He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِ. He said in His book, I only created you guys for one purpose. To recognize that I am your Lord and then worship me as such without any partners. That's enough. You covered us. You told him what the Quran said. You told him what it's about. And it makes sense. When a woman goes out, she ought to be protecting herself. If it's cold, she'll protect herself from the cold, won't she? If it's hot, she'll put some kind of sunscreen on, protect herself from the sun, won't she? So when she's going out in front of men who could hurt her, especially in this country where every 9 seconds a woman is raped, seduced, or forced into some kind of sexual act, oppressed of some kind of act, violence, every 9 seconds in this country, and you don't think they need to know about this? Every 9 seconds. Since I started talking, do you know how many women went to the hospital in this country from this type of abuse? Astaghfirullah. And we're the culprits. We're the culprits because we're not telling these people how they can protect themselves from what? And I mentioned taqwa earlier. You remember that? A protection from Allah's anger. He's showing you a protection from something in this life, and I'm showing you a protection from something in the next life. Establish the worship for your Lord alone without any partners. As Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا And Allah told us that the people before us were ordered nothing more than to keep the religion pure for Allah, worship Him alone without any partners, and establish the regular worship, the prayer, pay some charity, and this is the way of a human being most clear. At that stage, there's no argument. It has to be that they understand what Jesus says. And by the way, I'm going to take a break and mention that you listen to Islam Tomorrow. We'll broadcast live and almost live right here at IslamTomorrow.com. ISLAMTOMOROW.com. The website's open 24 hours a day. There's a lot of free parking, so hurry up before we run out. I want to introduce a guest. Tell me your name again. Gao. We have one of our sweet friends from, where's your country? China. Were you made in China? MashaAllah. Okay. And his name is Gao. And he came to visit us today. How do you like this land, Gao? How do you like this land? Yeah? Do you think there is God? Well, we don't try to tell you what he looks like, by the way. But we're not going to try to tell you what a physical dimension of God. That's not our purpose. We're just saying, do you acknowledge there is some superpower? And we call him Allah. Oh, you went to a church? What did you grow up as? What religion? No religion?
see. Okay. All right. Go ahead. You went to a church. Did you like it? Interesting. Did they try to save you? Yeah. Did it work? You didn't get saved. Yeah. Okay. One of the things, now, we have a gentleman with us, Val is with us, and I want to do break and turn to this subject now and mention that it's fair for us to give him a chance to hear some answers to his questions. And you said there must be a power, right? Well, this is what we believe as Muslims. And we believe also that the way you're coming about it is good, that a person needs to come to the conclusion on their own. Somebody cannot force you. Somebody cannot push you. And nobody can give you, just take this and don't ask. That's wrong. In Islam, we have answers to every single question. Okay? But it's good to remember how to ask the question, and it's good to remember how to answer it, so that we are good examples. We don't attack people with a question. We don't attack people with an answer. At least we're not supposed to. Sometimes I get carried away because I'm doing a radio show and I say things a little too strong. But I hope, inshallah, that you won't take my bad habits, but you'll try to do something good. If I did anything good, copy that instead. But I want to address the question that you might have about God. Is there any doubt in your mind that God exists? Why don't you come over here, sit close to me? Come sit close to me, because the folks at home can't hear you. You're wondering if this thing is still working or not. Okay.
Say hello.
Hello?
Yeah, this is the doll. I come from China.
How many
audience? I'm very nervous. You scared me.
He asked how many people are in the audience out there listening. I said less than a million. It's also less than 1,000. Okay, is that better? I meant better. Okay. That's better. If I would have told him 1,000 first, he wouldn't like it. Okay. First of all, I want to ask you a question. If we as human beings were walking together, just walking along, and we saw three rocks piled up on top of each other, a rock, and then another rock on top of it, and another rock on top of that rock, would we think that the rocks just jumped on top of each other? Or would we think that somebody came along and put them on top of that? Which one? You see a brick, and you see another brick on top of it, and you see another brick on top of that, what do you think in your mind? The bricks crawled up on top of each other, or somebody did it? Let me give you another example, okay? We're walking along on the beach, looking at the water, looking at the sand, and we see a footprint in the sand. Do we know that a human being is in front of us, or do we think the water just pushed the footprint in there?
Sorry. Maybe you can change the analogy.
Another explanation. Yeah. Suppose that we're walking, I'm going to give you my real graphic one. This comes from Islam anyway. But suppose we're walking in the out some in the forest in the woods anyway. And we see the dropping of the animal. You know? And we see this. Something left by the animal dropping. Huh? Poop. Okay? So, do we know there's an animal up there, or do we think it fell out of the sky?
Bird.
I'm saying animal. We know it's come from an animal, yes?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah. What we're saying is, okay, suppose we walk along and we see some trash, a plastic bag. Do we know humans have been here before? The trash, how did it get there? If you go to a planet, another planet, and you see a paper cup laying there, you know somebody's been there, right? You get the point? You get it? Not that. Yeah. Yeah. So the point, what we're saying is, if you see evidence, you know something is there.
If I don't see it, maybe it's difficult to believe it.
Absolutely. That's the other point. But if you see something, so you see sun and you see the moon, you know it got here somehow. It didn't come by accident. Right? Because if you break a glass, it just makes a bunch of mess. But if all of this that we see looks nice, like the sun, the moon, the planets, it's not accident. Is it? We're saying that, you mentioned superpower, we're saying the one who has the power, he made everything. Yeah.
What is the superpower and where the superpower come from?
Good question. He's saying that he's confused as to what is the superpower and where did he come from. And when they ask you this question, Allah told you in the Quran exactly how to answer it. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ السَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And meaning is, I should tell you that he is Allah. This is his name, he is Allah. And he is different. He's unique. There's nothing like him. You're never going to see him. You're not going to hear him. You're not going to smell him, taste him, feel him, because he's not like his creation. Ahad means he's not like his creation. He's different. He's unique. And he's only one.
Yes.
The next thing is that he is not needing anything from his creation. Everything he needed, he doesn't need it. Like we need something. We need to eat. We need to drink. And those things are all a part of what we as human beings depend on him for forever. All his creation needs him, but he doesn't need the creation. That's the word fanat. Next, we say he's not born, so he's not like a human being. And he doesn't give birth. He's not like a father. He doesn't have relatives. And if you know the Arabic language, even his name, Allah, is unique because it means it's not two, it can't ever be two. It's only one. And also, it can't be male or female. It's not boy or girl. Some women may complain. I talked to my own sister the other day. She said, well, you keep saying he. Why do you say he? I think it's she. Why? Because she's a woman. And I said, in Arabic, you understand Allah is not he or she. It doesn't mean he or she. We say he out of respect. But we don't believe Allah is like a human being, is like biologically correct or something like this. Whereas the Christians say that God is like a man. They compare him to a man. We can't do that. This is not acceptable for us to say that he has like body parts like we have, they had, you know, male organs, something like this, out of the last supper, because this is not what we believe. This is not, this is wrong. And then finally, the end of what it says, that Allah is not like anything He created. So if you do see it, that's not Allah. So the first part of your question is, who is it? We just told you. He's so unique. He's so different. He doesn't need anything. He made all of this for some other purpose. He doesn't need it. Got that? Okay, next. Your second question was, where is He? This is a beautiful question. Who knows what the answer is in the Quran? Where is it? Oh, astaghfirullah. This is one of the diseases that has reached us all over the earth. If you say everywhere, this is pantheism, the opposite of Islam, that puts Him in the creation. There are several places in Quran Allah tells you where He is. Hu alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal ardi fi sittati ayyam thumma istawa 'alal 'arsh. Is that how He said it? Plus or minus. Because He said it several times in the Quran. He is the one who created everything. He made all the heavens. He made all the earth. He made all the planets. He made everything in six periods of time, six stages, and then He rose or went up over His arsh, His throne. But we don't say He sits on it, we don't say He's laying on it, and we don't compare Him to His creation. And also, there's another one more famous than this, and all of your children already know this, and it's called Ayatul Kursi. It says at the end of Ayatul Kursi, وَحْدِيَا كُرْسِيُ لُسَّمَ وَحْدِي وَحْرِ وَلَا يَعْلِنُهُ سَمُومَ وَحُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَلِيمُ. And the meaning here is that His footstool, and this is the expression, footstool, is extending over the whole universe. And He never gets tired of taking care of it. He doesn't feel any problem with taking care of His universe. And He is Adin. Adin. Tremendous. Is that good? Close? It's hard to put English to the Arabic. But now watch. What is Kursi? This is Kursi right here. See this? That's a stool. It said His Kursi is over the universe. So some people said, oh, is this the chair, is this the arsh or the throne of Allah? How many of you think it's the throne of Allah? It's not. Because Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said He has both a kursi and an arsh. This is a kursi with no back. It means with no back. It can be like this, or it can be with the back. But the big one, the arsh, always has the back, the big one. Now, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, trying to explain something. Look what he said. This, compared to His arsh, the big one, it's like the size of a ring thrown in the desert. A ring in the desert. And the size of the kursi, this, to the universe, it's like the universe is the ring and this is the desert. It means you can't imagine His size. Look at yourself. I'm going to show you an example. Then we're going to wrap it up, inshallah. The example, you. Are you big or small? Most people, they say they're big, but you're right, we're small. Most people think we're big because they compare us to what? Well, dogs and cats, bugs, roaches. So by that, we're pretty big. But in the whole universe of things, we're pretty small. Compare ourselves, for instance, to a mountain. But compare the mountain to the moon. Compare the moon to the sun. Compare the sun to the galaxy, and the galaxy to the Milky Way, and the Milky Way to the whole universe. And the whole entire universe is so small compared to this. It's like a ring in the desert. And this compared to the arsh, this stool compared to the arsh, is like another ring in the desert. And even then, Allah is mighty and over this arsh. It means that you can't compare Allah to His creation because He's higher. And we never, ever, ever say Allah is better. Because this is misunderstanding, but usually when Arabs say it, I know what they mean. They mean His knowledge is everywhere. His hearing is everywhere. His sight is everywhere. And absolutely, this is true, because this is what is the Quran is saying. We know that's right. But we don't put Allah in His creation, because it would mean that all the creation is going to be what? It's not God. It doesn't make sense. Because if God is everywhere, then He would be in disease. And we don't want to say that. It would be in somebody's toilet. We don't want to say that. You don't say that. So you don't put Him in the creation, although He knows the creation better than you do. He knows every hair on every animal. He knows every scale on every fish. He knows every leaf on every tree. He knows every blade of grass, and He knows every drop of water in the entire ocean. But He's not in any of it. He's far, far, far too magnificent and far too much above this. And that's what Subhana, Subhana, we'll say Subhana. He's so glorified to be far above this and what they associate with Him. And that's why it's Subhanakallahu al-Azim. Make sense? Yeah. So what do you think? Make sense?
Yeah.
Well, if I made sense to somebody from China, I did good today. Alhamdulillah. And you know what? I thank you for coming and being on our show right now. I know that made you a little bit nervous. And all the people listening right now, you know what, they're probably nervous too, because on their end, they don't really get a chance to say too much. They're just listening, you know what? But you're getting to talk, so you can tell them hello. Do you know how to say salam in Arabic language? You can say ma salama? Huh? Huh? Can you say that? You want to say salam? Salam. That's really good. We thank you for being with us, and we hope you'll keep learning more about Islam. And we hope that also you listen to Dr. Waleed, because he's a dear friend of mine, by the way. And he can really help you to know more about the subject. And he'll give you some CDs, you can listen to them, take your time. But most important, let me share this with you. Nothing I say and nothing you read will help you as much as you can help yourself. Go in your heart. This heart is yours. Nobody owns it except you, right? That belongs to you. So go inside of it, and you can just say, oh God, if you're there, guide me. Does it make sense? That's between you and your God, right? And you're going to find out if there really is a God, it's the same one we have. So let's all make that prayer for Him. Oh God, guide him. Is that fair? Ya Allah. Allahumma, oh Ya Rab, Ya Latif, Ya Hadi, the guide. We ask God to guide you to all truth and make it easy for you. Amen. And thank you so much for being with us. And I thank all of our listeners out there for being so patient. Well, we had a chance to talk with someone about Islam today and Islam tomorrow. I want to get back to my website, little ad in there. Islam tomorrow, islamtomorrow.com. Come and visit us on the internet for a rebroadcast of this and other exciting programs. And also email us for a transcript of what we talked about early in the program about these harsh questions. And we're happy to provide it. And if you want anything sent to you, you can contact us through the internet at islamtomorrow.com/order. O-R-D-E-R. We don't accept money for anything that we do, but there are people who make donations, that's up to them. But everything is offered, that we want this message to get out to all the people before it's too late. So we hope, inshallah, that Allah guide all of us to do our best and help share Islam with everyone that we can. Amen. Jazakum Allah khair. You've been listening to Islam tomorrow. Thank you, Sister Layla. We'll turn it back over to you. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ya Allah.